To this textbook introduction part. I would like we go through all of these several items. For example, the first item we should understand, achieve a common understanding what is information security, because sometimes different people from different sectors, they talk about the same term, but actually meaning different things. And after we achieve the common understanding, we need to formally define information security. After these two items, I want to get your opinion about value adjustment, in which cases security is good, and maybe in other cases security is not as good as we expected. Please give me feedback, and you can share your opinions and comments with other students. And if preferably, you can use some examples. And then we will go through some key terms, key concepts, short history of information security, and what type of security personnel, person positions that are normally used, normally required in a typical organization. First, I began with a real story. As I mentioned to you, we are currently establishing a e-health security research group. So at the very beginning of this year, I went to H building, actually this building, because most of our health workers and the health care and the nursing researchers are located here. We want to establish some collaboration with them because we are, you know, we are security people. We have nothing more special knowledge than common people in the fields of care, health care. And one late afternoon in this January, I approached them. I have this first question for them. First, I introduced myself. We say we are going to establish some research work in e-health security. And because we think this is more and more interesting in the future. And I got one comment immediately from them, which is quite a surprise to me. They say, yes, this is also one of our core research interests. And I think this is quite a surprise to me because, you know, every people here in this campus know we are the only information security research team, NIST Lab here. We never know the health workers or health care colleagues, they're also doing something about health security. And they say, yes, we call it Passion Secret. So namely, it is, for example, some medical workers can make some mistake. And this mistake can endanger their patients. So, okay, I see. So we actually, what happened? We actually talk about the different things. So we talk about health security, but for health workers, they think we are talking about the safety, human safety, patient safety. So this is one example. Security may be different in various natural languages. And you know, NORSC, this word, it could be security and also safety. In my mother language, Chinese, same situation. Another thing, when I began my literature survey, I started to realize that WHO, World Health Organizations, they also have some focus or topics on health security. Then I go through the lines. I found this maybe quite different from our understanding. It says international health security is the first line of defense against health shocks that can devastate people, society, and the economies worldwide. Okay, this is seems not the information security we are talking about. So in their language logic, this is something that they can come up with some measures to protect the civilian against, for example, plague, or to have a better political policies to ensure the public health. Difficult. to communicate with the people outside your field. So security could be different in different professional language in this case. And I want to mention this case. I believe most of you know the struggle between Apple and the FBI, which happened early this year, right? Mm-hmm. I didn't closely follow this event. I don't know what happened finally. Any people knows? Please?
Uh-huh. And they then believe that the authorities such as police, the FBI, NSA, and the CIA should have, say, master keys to all of Apple users' encrypted data.
Okay, so what could be the future trend? The court will issue more orders to force the company to release a new tool to decrypt data, or they are more tending to refuse this request? Okay. I heard, but I didn't verify this. I heard from some people say, finally, FBI resorted to another party other than Apple to unlock the phone. This could be the best result for both parties, I think. But from this case, we can see clearly, now these two parties, they are really talking about security in the same common understanding. However, they look at the security from completely different perspective. So the government's view, they think the security measures, if they are used by bad guys, they could be endangers the national security, because it makes the government feel more difficult to do surveillance of the civilian activities. And from the smartphone owner's view, of course, protect our privacy is always the individual's priority. So you see, in this case, security can be also different in different angles. We see security, information security is really complicated. They have different culture, implementation, they have a different perspective. And here we still need a formal definition. I think Christopher mentioned several definitions in the morning session. I also put four here. The first two, they are from our textbook. I just extract some keywords here, like secure, free from danger, protection of information. I prefer the third one better than the first two ones. They say preservation of confidentiality, integrity, and availability. I think you already heard the three terms in the morning session, right? And this definition is more professional and more academic taste. However, to laymen, to common people, they still cannot understand what is confidentiality, integrity, and availability. So my favorite one is the last one. I just found it from Wikipedia. Information security, sometimes shortened to InfoSec, is the practice of defending information from unauthorized access, use, disclosure, disruption, modification, inspection, recording, or destruction. So I like this sentence, defend information from unauthorized actions. If you ask my opinion, I would like to add another one. Sorry, I should return it as retention. So not only actions. If you are required to delete the data, you should do it, and you should not retain it, right? So I would like to add this. This is just my opinion. So in general, I would say, what is information security? We can shortly say it is to defend information from unauthorized position, retain it, and actions. Okay, next topic, we will discuss. We will want to get more opinions from you. In which cases you think information security is good? For what reasons? If you can give some examples. And in other cases, security is maybe not so good. Sorry, do not take a look at this figure first. Just share your opinions. For example, you can give me or share with us some examples. I think the scenarios information security is good is easy to understand, but if you can come up with some examples that information security could not be a good thing for the users. Any idea? Please?
Complicated
to access the system, right? Yeah. For example?
Medical personnel and struggling to log in.
Okay. Oh, yes. Yes.
That might be a problem, but also you need stricter security to preserve the information. So it's a difficult compromising.
So you mean if I'm a medical doctor, I may feel frustrated if I occasionally or frequently prompt for input some password, or I have the responsibility to retain all the data to keep it as confidential for the patients. This is not really my major, my major duty. So this could be not good for medical doctors, right? Okay. Do you mean the Health NOC, this website, or some database like that?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
But the point is that the system that we connected was so slow that security is like that to hire more personnel to manage and hello
to Okay, I understand. Because the system the efficiency is a challenge, so availability will be a challenge for the users, right? So not easy to access the information they need. Yes, these two examples are quite good, and we mentioned basically convenience aspects. So we should always keep a balance between security and the user's convenience to use the information system or information technologies. Right? I totally agree. And here, any people know this? What happened here? Any idea?
Photon encryption, I think. Polarized light. So only the recipient can know the You cannot actually read photon encryption without the recipient knowing that it's being read. Because the polarization of the photons has to happen at some point if you want to read it. And,
yes, I think you are right. So here we talk about quantum. And here in the specific case, a type of quantum particle could be photon. And so a very special good security property of quantum communication is we call it is theoretically it is hack proof, because if some bad guys, attackers in the middle want to probe into the data communication channels, the probe action will give some uncertainty or say change the status of the data transmitted. And the receiver can immediately detect this change. He can say, okay, this data stream has been probed, has been intercepted by some people else. So this very good security property actually has been long implemented by industry partners. But I doubt many people know this so far, right? So what is the major hindrance in this case? That is the cost. For normal, for example, here if we use internet and a good security data transmission protocol or communication protocol is SSL or TLS, right? So basically it is a software-based cryptography-based security solutions. Almost cost nothing because you can get some open source software. But here it is really hardware dependent systems. The security feature is good, but it is expensive. Another case, I want to say the balance between security and the cost is the case of credit cards. And I think, how many of you have credit cards? Okay, great. I think more than half of you. And what is the first credit card you have looking like? Is it have having a chip on it? Any of you had a credit card without chip before? Okay, great. Few of them. When I came to Norway, there's no chip on credit cards. And a few years later, we have this chip. Of course, chip is better than the magnetic arrow here. Why? Any people can give me an explanation? Yes, exactly. But what is underlying reason? It is easier to be copied or skimmed. Any people know?
It's magnetic.
Yes. And?
And you can copy the... I don't know how to explain.
Copy all the information encoded here, right? However, if it is chip, what is chip? It is not necessarily encrypted, but the chip is a small computer. If it is a computer, it has access control. It is not just a set of data encoded there. So that is why we say chip is more secure in this case. Obviously, chip is more with more higher cost than a magnetic arrow here. And this is why for many years, the industry, for example, the MasterCard Visa organizations, they are reluctant to adopt such high technology security features because of the cost. And here they have the example. There were a lot of credit card fraud every year, and that cost the company a lot, the bank and the credit card company. However, if you count this cost, split this cost to each credit card, it is actually not so much. For example, during the life of a typical card, it could be just around a few Norwegian krone. And how can you consider if you, for example, implement even more security features like biometrics on a credit card? Are you expecting any fingerprint sensors or technologies that is only a few Norwegian krone in cost? Not always this case. In most of cases, cost is the final decision factors for information security technology adoption. Other aspects, we already have the two examples from our healthcare workers. We can hear a lot of complaints actually currently from our healthcare workers, and they think they have already the best practice. So what is their best practice to use information security technologies, just like here? They share the credentials among their colleagues, and they can always speak out the password in the public just because this is quicker for another colleague to log in. And the thing, they can tell another person the password if that person make a phone call to them. Very good practice. And about PKI, I think, any people know PKI? Yes, public key infrastructure. And it enables a lot of practical functionalities in modern areas in terms of internet applications. But they think, oh, this is something we don't need. We should avoid it because they cannot understand what is PKI and how to figure it out. And even worse is, you can think if some people, they feel information security technologies or controls is an obstacle to their work. So the best solution for them is not to use them, right? Or circumvent them. And this case will give us a learned. A lot of people, they may, it seems like they are using information technologies, but actually sometimes they just circumvent it. And this situation is even worse in information security. Other cases, if we talk about what is bad and what is good, for example, the struggle between security, national security, and citizens' privacy. Nowadays, we have more and more security cameras deployed in the public places. And also, people know some governments, they have some secret or, say, semi-secret program to monitoring or survey their citizens for national security purpose or other purpose. Here we have to review the three aspects of information security. That is the CIA, which already mentioned by Christoph in the morning. So what is the CIA? Central Information Intelligence Agency? No, I don't know what is the relevance to them. But here, the confidentiality, integrity, and availability, you heard about in the morning. We say, what is confidentiality? It is a status that information is protected from disclosure to unauthorized individuals or systems. Yeah, for example, password control, data encryption, data eraser, completely destroy the paper document. This is also a measure to protect the information, right? And another case could be agreement. For example, you are going to create an information security project team. Then you might establish some agreement among the members to say we should keep this as which information as a secret. Usually we need agreement. You sign it. I will never, by which date, I will never disclose this secret to outside of our team. And that is all, or we need other things if we want to establish agreement. Do you think we are missing something else, or besides the signature and the declaration? Okay. Still, we need to specify the penalty. If some people breach the agreement, it should be some penalty clearly defined in the agreement. Otherwise, the agreement make no sense, right? The second aspect, integrity. For example, I'll give two examples here. It is about image content alteration or, say, tampering. In the top example, you can see this is the original image. You can easily copy and paste part of the content. In this case, I guess the people do this alteration. They just want other people to think they have more weapons, records. And this case is easy to understand. You can easily to modify the attributes, data attributes, or the images of your ID. So we say, what is integrity? Integrity is a type of requirement. We should come up with some solutions to detect any unauthorized alteration of data, right? And also, we should have come up with some solutions to detect any truncation of the original information. These are two very interesting examples here. If this is the original image, if we crop the left side and crop the right side as independent images, they may give totally, completely different meaning or explanation. Here, in this case, if we cut this lower part to form a new image, it will give you misleading, right, to recognize what is there. So integrity, also, you should take care of this case. You should make sure the data is complete. And availability. I think Christopher, in the morning, he mentioned several examples. For example, usability. If information security technologies, if the, for example, the user interface is ugly designed, and no people want to use it, and people will feel difficulty to access the information they required. And the distributed denial of service examples. Okay, here we reviewed the three concepts: confidentiality, integrity, and availability. We see these three aspects are the basic three elements of information security. But however, I didn't say these three aspects cover all the requirements of information security, right? And I give you an example here. Now I challenge you to answer this question. Is this case about confidentiality, integrity, or availability? So the story is a 7-year-old school girl pretend to be her parents to write a early leave notes to the teacher. And it is very funny. This was not noticed by the teacher, and it was approved. This is a true story. Integrity? Any other comments, idea? It seems not a confidentiality, because everything is there without encryption or constraints of access control. And availability seems not as well. So it looks like integrity. But let's review the two requirements of two aspects of integrity. Content alteration. Is there any content alteration happening here? But this is the original message. The message's ownership is going to the kids, right? Because the author of this message is from the kids. So there's no content alteration. Any case of incomplete content here? No. So why should we say it is about integrity? By the way, a small question about this. Go to DAS-131. Any people understand this?
The bus, maybe?
Exactly. It was actually the bus. So, but you can understand this is just a script from a 7-year-old kid. Sorry to interrupt. But I want to mention another thing. It is authenticity. For example, this is something we didn't mention in the CIA requirements. But this is something also happened here. What is authenticity? It is an information status that information being genuine or original in the production process and the ownership. So this case is about authenticity. It is breached. Besides this, we can also find other criteria and requirements. If you look at some details from the textbook, the first chapter, you can find other aspects than utility, possession, and other criterions. Besides this CIA and different criterions for information security, I want to mention this as well. Different key terms, and also a model, we call it a Mike Comber cube. So what is that? It looks a little bit more complicated than CIA, but we found CIA here, right? This cube has three dimensions. So the first dimension is about information status. Whether the information is being stored, for example, in the hard drive, or it is currently being processed in the RAM of a computer, or it is under the process of transmission. This is status dimension. And also we have this security characteristic dimension. Yeah, that is the CIA. And the third dimension, it is the security control, or say security solution dimension. So how can we use this cube? So this cube can help you to clarify if you are now facing an information security incident, for example, attack, or information security examples. Then you can think about in which cell of this cube you can classify that incident, right? For example, if you look at one cell, it is about storage, confidentiality, and the technology. Which cell? Let's see. Storage, confidentiality, and technology. This cell, right? Can you come up with some examples or use cases? It is about this cell. Any idea? Or, for example, the quick examples, hard drive stored in a protected form by encryption method. Here, stored in the hard drive is the status of storage. Confidentiality, we use encryption. Technology, we have different encryption mechanisms. Or classified hard copy documents sealed or locked in cabinets. And another cell, for example, transmission availability and policy. For example, if you are running a server to provide some web services for customers to access their personal information stored in your server, then you provide the service of transmit the data from your server to the browser of the users. So this is about the transmission. And if your server are confronting with some attack like DDoS, then could what could be the result? The result could be you have to stop your server, the services, because of the DDoS attack. So this is about availability. And what is the best policy for this? You can keep some data backups or make a duplicate server. Or you should install some security mechanisms to help you to prevent and detect and counterfight the DDoS attack. Another case is the post boutique. This is very typical in Norway. And the post office, they delegate the post services to different small shops. So people can just go to the shops to take their parcels. They don't need to, all the people hurry to the post offices waiting in a long line. So you see, how can we use the MacComber cube? It will help you to clarify your thoughts, to think what is the challenge. And how can you classify the challenge into different cell? Because different cell, they may have different security property, different requirements, and different methodologies for as a countermeasure. Okay, we proceed to different other concepts and terms. I think I will go through this very quickly. But I would strongly recommend you to go through the detailed definitions of each of these terms. Why terms is important, just we discussed in the first example. If different people from different sectors, they need to achieve a common understanding, they should have exactly the same mindset, what they are talking about, use the same terms. Components of information security, software, hardware, data, people, procedures, networks, all of these components, they have some security. They could have some security vulnerabilities, and also we can come up with security controls for as countermeasures for different components. And keep balance. We emphasize this here again and again, because information security is a complicated objective, and it is you never expect you can get a perfect security. Unless one case, you have unlimited resource, unlimited financial resource, unlimited human resource, but this never happened in real case. So you have to keep the balance between cost and security, between the usability and security. And different information security implementation method, for example, bottom up, I would say in most of the cases, if your organization use this model of information security implementation method, that means the top management, they don't really care about security. So a better way is information security. Please keep this in mind. It's not the duty. It limited to the technical persons. It's not a duty limited to information security professionals. It is a duty for all the levels in a organization, from the CEO to the technical persons. So this is a structure. For example, we have different layers, and we should consider the top-down approach in as much as possible in practice. And I think I will go through, I will skip this story part. You can get it from Wiki. You can get it from our textbook. Yes, I think the very beginning reason why people have information security, just because when people developed the first prototype of internet, that was called ARPANET, and there's no basically security design there. So in the later phase, people just keeping making security patches there. This is an old way to do information security. So currently today, we talk about security by design and privacy by design. That means from the very beginning of ICT or IT operation, IT product development phase, we should consider security. We should integrate the security features there, not always in a later phase make patches. In the textbook, you can also find different positions that we require in your organization about information security, like CIO, CISO, and if you are going to create a team, we should have a champion, team leader, different type of security professionals, and also the end user. I want to emphasize two roles. The first role is the champion. Champions technically outside the team, but he's a higher rank officer to give enough resource and strategically consideration of the information security project and the team. This support is very, very important in practice. Without the support, you may, as a security professional, you may encounter a lot of practical difficulties when you communicate with your colleagues which are not relevant to information security. And also, very important, it is the end users. Whenever you can, you should always involve the end users in the very beginning phase of your information security projects, because in this way, you can always get the feedback from the users to improve your steps during the development of the projects. Okay, I think this conclude our first lecture in Introduction to Information Security. Maybe in a couple of years, you will forget what we are talking about in the lecture, but hopefully you should remember this. It's easy to understand and remember. Security, information security is not limited to technology. It is art, science, and social science. We say it is art because we need creative ideas. We need innovation. Because you never can assure a security control can work for 100 years. No, that never happened. The bad guys can always come up with new tools to attack you, and you must be very creative. That is type of art part. And science, you need to do model the security, you need to do data analysis, you need to develop your method. Social science, this is very important as well, because you are dealing with people. And a lot of security breaches, they are actually caused by human being mistakes. I will touch this in details in our next week lectures. So I will handle this to Audin Yensai for the next hour's practical part. Maybe Audin, you can introduce yourself a little bit. And yeah, please be aware. Use this. Oh, of course. Yeah. Then you will have to use this.
Yeah.
Okay, 5 minutes break, if you like. I would say 80 or 90% of the exemption. This book is issued 3 years ago, so it is newer, incorporating more knowledge, for example, cloud, social media, something like that.
Basically, the core concept is the same.
Exactly.
So if I have a topic and for the lectures,
yeah, you don't have to copy this one.
Okay.
Thank you.
Hello? Yeah. You hear me? Yes. Ja, jeg Odin Jensegg. Jeg skal ha den praktiske delen av kurset til Bjørn Jang. Kan starte med å fortelle litt om meg selv. Jeg går siste året på informasjonssikkerhet. Jeg har vært studentassistent i nettverk og datakommunikasjon, og vært delaktig i veldig mye studentaktiviteter i form av linjeforeninger jeg har satt i styret. Også vært med å arrangere en lokal programmeringskonkurranse vi hadde her, og vært litt innom HIG-LUG, HIG Linux User Group, har det hette, og vært aktiv med CTF-er, det som heter det, Capture the Flag, det er sikkerhetskonkurranser, så dere kommer til å møte gjennom studiet. Og hvis det er noe dere lurer på i noe av de aktivitetene jeg sa nå, eller i det kurset her, så er det bare å ta tak i meg, eller sende meg en e-post på mailen som står her. Det står i tillegg på frontrommet. Jeg kommer til å gå litt gjennom hva vi skal lære i det kurset her. Og det kommer til å ha en introduksjon til kommandolinja. Og i den kommandolinjen snakker vi om Linux sin kommandolinje, og verktøy på Linux, og hvordan man skal navigere seg rundt, og hvordan man skal bruke en kommandolinje. Deretter så skal vi se sette opp en Linux-boks, og da er jeg for meg å snakke med en virtuell maskin på skylagringstjeneste Amazon. Og da skal vi sette den opp fra start, helt fra scratch, og så skal den til et sluttproduktmåte. Og da kan dere, slutten er der, det vil dra den videre og lære mer, men til et brukernivå der jeg kan bruke den. Og så skal vi gå videre med å se litt på nettverksverktøy på Linux og på Windows, og hvordan vi kan bruke dette da, på den boksen den. Deretter skal vi se litt mer på sikkerhetsrelaterte temaer. Skal se på litt teknologier, hvordan man kan, hvordan phishing-email blir lagd, hvordan teknologi man bruker for å gjøre mer troverdig. Og så skal vi se litt på PGP, Pretty Good Privacy, kryptering og dekryptering av data, og i tillegg hvordan man kunne bevare integritet med PGP. Vi skal se litt på hvordan dere kan bruke det, hvilke verktøy man bruker, og i tillegg hvordan det her blir brukt ute i det offentlige, av hvilke bedrifter og hvilke personer som har brukt det her da. Så skal vi se litt videre på passord. Skal vi se på hvordan passord blir cracket, litt teorien bak det og litt verktøy, og i tillegg skal vi se på hvordan man skal lage gode passord og password managers. Til slutt så skal vi se litt på SSL-sertifikater, litt teori bak det, ikke så mye, og hvorfor det blir brukt, og i tillegg hvordan man kan se på sertifikater da. Motivasjon. Det kurset her, det er satt sammen slik at det er veldig mye, tenker jeg på Linux-delen. Dere kommer til å møte Linux senere i kurset her, og det, når det kommer til operativsystemer, det er veldig greit å ha en grunnlig forståelse av hvordan man skal navigere. Dere kommer til å lære det senere. Når du sitter i fingrene, så er det mye enklere å ta det opp senere. Og i tillegg, et kurs dere kommer til å ha, som er Infrastructure as a Code, som er obligatorisk for dere. Der er det greit å ha den grunnleggende forståelsen stående og ikke begynne å lære det der og da. Også ofte i sikkerhetsrelaterte jobber, så er det ofte et krav at man skal ha Linux-ferdigheter. Og i tillegg det at man kan på fritiden sitte og jobbe med private prosjekter, da du drar lærdom av nye teknologier. Men det er ganske vanskelig når du ikke har vært innenfor det lille fot, men når du har en grunnforståelse av hvordan man skal gjøre det, så er det mye enklere å ta tak i nye prosjekter man kan drive på fritida. Bare nevne fra forrige at de praktiske sesjonene er satt opp til at man skal, det man gjør på sesjonen er der man skal bli ferdig. Det er ikke satt opp altså, veldig, men man skal jobbe der og da. Og jeg kommer ikke til å ha noen sånn veldig mye undervisning. Jeg kommer klart til å sette an 30 minutter til å snakke litt om det vi kommer til å gå gjennom. Men mesteparten av tiden går til at dere skal gjøre ting, og dere spør meg. Det er slik man lærer praktisk, og det lærer man mest læringsutviklet i dag. Etter den praktiske delen her, så i hvert fall ha en grunnleggende forståelse av hvordan man bruker kommandolinjer. Grunnleggende forståelse av Linux-verktøy, hvordan man skal bruke Linux. og nettverksverktøy på Windows. Og i tillegg så prøve å få en uttrykk som blir brukt innenfor IT operation, drift, at man begynner å få litt inn i seg, at man vet litt forskjellige uttrykk. Og i tillegg se den praktiske vinkelen av sikkerhetsrelaterte emner, da. At man ikke bare hører det, men kan tillegg med se på det og skjønne hvordan det fungerer, da. Det kommer ikke til å være noe læringsbok dedikert. Jeg kan ikke, jeg kommer til å referere til læringsboka deres. Det er vel den gamle versjonen, men da kommer jeg til å referere til nye. At hvis det er noen deler. I tillegg kommer jeg til å bruke internett. Det finnes ufattelig mye godt læringsstoff på internett. Og det er to Linux Journey. Det er en Linux-side som forteller veldig godt beskrevet hvordan det er veldig godt lagt opp til hvordan man skal grunnen lære, da. Og de skriver på en god måte, og jeg kommer til å referere til dem i oppgaven jeg kommer til å gi ut. Og i tillegg så kan du bruke en nettside som heter Code Academy. Det er en interaktiv nettside der man kan lære kommandolinja. De forteller litt hva man skal lære, hva man skal gjøre. Og det er, i stedet for at alle skal kunne sette opp en Linux-maskin i en gang, så er det en veldig fin måte å lære det på, uten at man trenger å sette opp sin egen maskin og jobbe det. Men det som er et krav til kurset her, er at man har en maskin, enten med Linux, Mac eller Windows, og da har vi dekket det meste. Også en hypervisor. Det kan greit å ha, at man kan sette opp rullende maskiner. Og det som vi ikke vet hva en hypervisor er, det er vel mange som har installert VirtualBox eller VMware på PC-en her. Hvor mange er det som har gjort det? Cirka halvparten. Ja, for en hypervisor da. Nå tar vi på nivået deres, at dere har laptopen deres. Så har dere et operativsystem, for eksempel Windows 7, og der installerer VirtualBox. Fordelen da, at da har du, dere kan installere andre operativsystemer oppe der igjen. For eksempel du har en Windows 10, en Ubuntu Server og en Kali Linux. Og det finnes veldig mye gode operativsystemer for å lære forskjellige temaer da. For eksempel Kali Linux for å lære hacking og penetrasjonstesting. Og så har du så for eksempel skal lære drifte systemer, så kan du Ubuntu Server for å lære teknologi bak det da. Og litt det som skal gjøres før første praktiske del, er at jeg skal lage brukere på Code Academy og på Amazon Student. Vi kommer til å bruke skyløsningen til Amazon, til den Linux-boksen. Og linker kommer til å være tilgjengelig på frontrommet. Og så skal vi se her. Her er forståelse av hvordan vi skal sette opp først brukeren for Code Academy. Veldig greit. Amazon Student er litt mer kronglete. Her er det viktig å fylle inn for at man skal ha for studenter og studentbruker. Man bruker en mail man får fra NTNU. Og poenget er at det her krever ikke at du har noe kreditkort lagt inn. Men du får $30. Og etter dem er brukt opp, så poenget er at det er ikke farlig å gjøre noe gærent. Du blir ikke charge seg for flere 100 kroner her. Og jeg har lagt til et par linker som jeg greier å lese før. Her er det fra Linux Journey, et introduksjon til kommandolinja, og i tillegg her er veldig grunnleggende om Linux. Og her er to linker til forskjellige hypervisere, som eksempel VirtualBox eller VMware. Er det noen som har så spørsmål i forhold til den praktiske delen av kurset? Alt dette ligger ut på fronter, under praksis. Noen særlige spørsmål? Pipelyden der? Nei, det er jeg ikke sikker på. Også i tillegg så har timene blitt flyttet til torsdager. Det har jeg kanskje fått med dere. I stedet for at man skal ha timene fra klokka 8 på morgenen til 5. Det er litt lenge. Det skal jeg endre til dette med ditt. Jeg skal dobbeltsjekke det, men det skal være det. Og i tillegg så kan jeg vise fra en... Vi får den opp her. For det som har lest fra Wired nå, nå var vel Linux 25 år I går. Og det vel anfall å lese den her, men... Skal vi se. Det ganske mye av systemene ut på internett som bruker Linux. Det mange Linux-systemer som spørs alltid hva dere kommer til å jobbe med, men dere kommer til antagelig å bruke det. Det veldig greit å få en grunnleggende forståelse med en gang, fordi det kan fort balle på seg. Jeg vil anbefale å lese den her. Jeg kan legge den her ut på fronter også. Med spørsmål? Så har ikke jeg så mye mer for I dag. Det neste tors, eller til torsdagen kommer til å starte opp med et grunnleggende til kommandolinja. Jeg kommer til å snakke litt om det på starten, og så skal vi ha det interaktive kurset på Code Academy, som dere kommer til å gå gjennom. For noen kommer det gå veldig fort gjennom, men det bare gå gjennom og spørre hvis det noen spørsmål, og få en grunnleggende forståelse for det.
A154. Yeah. That teacher will be more suitable for practicals. Right?
Yeah.
Because we students can be grouped into different tables, and you can work there and here to give guidance.
Yeah. Like, it's not suitable to have the practical part in an auditorium. Yeah.
Okay, I think that concludes today's lecture.
Yeah.
And I hope you can review today's lecture, and especially the practical part. Just try to register your account in the two web services, right?
Yeah.
One is for online course, the other for Amazon.
Yeah.
Okay, then we see next Thursday afternoon. Right?
Yeah.
In A154 from 3 to 6.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.